Our gospel proclamation this morning began with a rather strange phrase. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, St. Luke was at pains in the opening verses of his gospel to set down what he calls an orderly account of the events that had been fulfilled among us. In his other seminal work, The Acts of the Apostles, he made it quite clear that 40 days elapsed between the resurrection and the ascension, and the church has accepted this account. Yet here, less than halfway through his gospel, he seems to be inferring that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for that ascension. One commentator writes of the significance in the account of the word analepsis, from which root comes our word assumption, meaning, in this context, a bodily reception into heaven. From the use of this word, we can reasonably assume that St. Luke was looking back, as it were, to the ultimate conclusion of the journey just begun, through the betrayal, trials, crucifixion, resurrection, and finally the bodily ascension of our Lord. Here we have a direct link with our Old Testament lesson, taken from the second chapter of the latter book of Kings. We heard that the Lord was ready to take Elijah up into heaven. With Elisha, his protege and assistant, he seems to have made a final, rather convoluted journey from Gilgal to Bethel, about 15 miles west as the crow flies. Elijah was keen to be rid of Elisha's company, but Elisha was not to be discouraged. From Bethel, they retraced their footsteps eastward to Jericho and continued on to the River Jordan. We heard later how Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the waters of the river. The waters divided to right and left, and they crossed the river as on dry ground. Elijah was bodily assumed into heaven in a whirlwind, and Elisha, after grieving at the departure, struck the river again with Elijah's cloak and recrossed the Jordan. Jesus had set his sights firmly on Jerusalem. Even a casual reading of the Synoptic Gospels could lead us to believe that this was his only visit to that city, whereas, by contrast, St. John tells us of him visiting it on several occasions, certainly for all the major Jewish festivals. It is from John's account that we get the idea that Jesus' ministry lasted for about 3 years. Since Jesus, a conscientious Jew, would have been expected to visit Jerusalem for the principal festivals, it seems strange that the synoptic writers do not mention these. Perhaps they did not consider earlier excursions important when compared with this final climactic visit before the Passion and Crucifixion, the journey now begun. Luke tells us that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. One can almost imagine the straight back, the outthrust jaw, the steely determination to do this thing that had to be done. When I joined a large industrial company many years ago, it was their managerial policy to spend time at the end of each month looking back at what we had done, see where we had gone wrong, and determine how we might have done better. The new senior manager pointed out the error of our ways with the analogy that it is impossible to drive a car on any significant journey only by making reference to the rear-view mirror. Most of the time must be spent looking forward through the windscreen. To run a successful company, one should spend most of one's time looking at where the business is going, where it will be next month and next year. Jesus, as he moved steadily towards his ultimate fate in Jerusalem, was transparently of the same opinion. Jesus initially set out by the most direct route, and if you look at the map of the ancient Near East of those times, you will see that the country of Samaria lay directly between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. From the biblical times of Elijah, there had been a long-standing feud between the Jews and the Samaritans. This came to have racial and political, as well as